These Sunday mornings here in All Souls, we're looking at a series entitled Questions of Faith. We're going through a number of questions. And this morning we come to the question, how attainable is faith? How attainable is faith? We've had read for us that account of the wealthy man coming to Jesus. Perhaps you turn to it in Mark chapter 10. It's page 44. New Testament section of our Bibles. There in verse 17, we see Jesus about to set out on his journey, on his way to Jerusalem. And the man comes up to him, kneels before him, and asks, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to inherit eternal life?" The jailer in Philippi, in Greece, when there had been the earthquake and the Apostle Paul and others had been set free, knelt before Paul and says, "What must I do to be saved?" Our question this morning, slightly altered, is how can I attain faith? And I see the three questions. What must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to be saved? How can I attain faith? To be the same question. Trying to sort out our relationship with God. And perhaps some of you have the same question in different words in your own minds and hearts this morning. To try and answer it, let's look at this passage in Mark chapter 10. And in fact, the two passages that we had read for our reading. The first one is the account of the children being brought to Jesus, and the other is this account of the wealthy man coming to Jesus. The children come and are at first rejected, but then welcomed and commended by Jesus. An example of those who can enter the kingdom of God. The wealthy man comes with his question and then goes away sad, unable to enter or to have faith. And there is a contrast, and I think in the contrast between the children and the man, we see some of the keys to understanding faith. I think the first thing we need to note and to learn well is that faith is not achieved by human action. Jesus in chapter 10 and verse 14 says, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." The kingdom of God, he says, belongs to children like these. But why? What have they done to deserve the kingdom of God? I think Jesus would say nothing. Nothing at all. The wealthy man, on the other hand, comes and says that he's observed all the commandments from his youth. And now he wonders what he must do. What must I do to inherit eternal life? But he's got it wrong. Because great acts don't produce faith. They don't earn faith. They don't build faith. Faith is not achieved by human actions. And yet we humans long for that. We want to do the big thing for God to show that we have faith. We want to do the big thing for God to earn faith. And so we build our idols as big as we can. Our ways of pilgrimage have to be hard and long and arduous. We want to do the big thing in terms of faith. You see, that doesn't seem to be the biblical picture of faith. Oh yes, we read of people like Abraham and Paul and Stephen whose faith cost much and led them into great things. When the Bible speaks of faith, it speaks of smallness. Faith, the size of a grain of mustard seed. And when Jesus gives us an image of faith, he gives us a child. A weak, immature child. One of the first things we need to recognize when we're asking about faith and how attainable faith is that it is not attainable by human actions. Not even if our acts for God equal the seven labors of Hercules, will we attain faith. Not even if we give our lives as martyrs, will we earn faith. Faith cannot begin with us. And in a sense, that's the odd lesson that comes out of this account of the wealthy young man. He wanted the one thing that he could do that would earn him faith, assure him of God's acceptance. And when the one thing was mentioned, he couldn't do it. The price was too high. It will always be like that. We cannot gain faith. We cannot earn faith. We cannot attain faith. The disciples in verse 26 were astonished. They said to Jesus, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." All things are possible with God. And so the first thing we note is that faith is not attainable by human action. And the second thing is that faith is a gift of God. Faith is a gift of God. When I was a student, I was often in an embarrassing position. Had nothing to do with essays that hadn't been handed in, coursework that was inadequate. It was nothing to do with poor preparation for my lessons while I was on teaching practice. Nothing to do with my lack of skill on the disco dancing floor. It was everything to do with my bank balance. Or more precisely, my lack of bank balance. Now, to say that my bank had to order in extra red ink for me was overstating it a little, but only a little. At the end of almost every term while I was a student, I received a letter from my bank manager saying that my account was overdrawn, this had not been agreed, would I do something about it immediately? I can see you've had the same letter. But what could I do? I hadn't got any money. How could I put money into a bank that I hadn't got? Most of the time I didn't even have enough money to get home to my family. What was the answer? Well, in short, it might have been rob a bank. But the answer consistently was that I would phone my father, I would explain the situation to my father, and he would bail me out. He put some money into the bank account, and that left everybody happy. I could look the bank manager in the eye once more. Well, everybody except my father was happy. Now, what has this to do with faith? Well, I think it's got everything to do with faith. Because what I couldn't do was done by my father as a gift of love. He saw my situation, and out of love for his child, he restored the right balance. I couldn't do it. He could, and he did it. Now, in terms of faith, in terms of eternal life, we need to recognize we start off with a deficit. We start off out of balance. Every human being has at some point along their life done something wrong. We have acted selfishly. We've refused to live our lives in the light of God and his revelation. And then we begin to wonder. We begin to wonder, how can I come to God? How can I have a life of faith? How can I be saved? How can I inherit eternal life? But what we have to realize is that we start from a minus position. We start in the red. We start in debt to God. We do not start off on an equal footing with God, whereby we can just breeze in and be at one with God. We start in a minus position. Our lack of holiness in comparison with God's awesome holiness and purity. But how can we change? How can we change the minus into a plus? How can we balance the account? Can we do it by obeying commands? The wealthy young man thought that he'd been doing that. Can we do it? Can we obey all the commands of God and so balance the account? No. Because somewhere on the line, we will fail. And in fact, if we're truthful and honest, we fail more often than we obey. Can we do it by some good works or some great act of faith? No. Because they cannot undo the debt. They cannot put right what has already been done that is wrong. And the situation for every human being that is looking for a relationship with God is, from our human angle, hopeless. We are in a minus situation and we cannot change it. But faith is possible because God can and has changed our situation. And the change has come through Jesus Christ and supremely through his death on that cross of wood on the hill of Calvary. Because when Christ died, he died in our place. He died instead of us. And his death is effective as our death, which squares the balance of our lives. His death changes the minus of our lives into the plus of God's acceptance. And so no longer does my past rebellion against God, the things I've done wrong, the selfish style of life I've been living, count against me. Because in one act of grace and mercy and love, God has wiped out that wrong balance. I can start in a relationship with him, free and clear. And by the gift of love, I can look God in the face. It's God's gift. God's gift to us. And God prompts us to accept his gift, to work out his love in our lives. Faith is not a matter of what we can do as humans. Faith is a matter of what God has done for us, his gift to us. But then we enter into a third aspect, and that is that faith is based upon dependence. My wife Ruth was talking to her friends last week about the Christian faith, and the friend was expressing some interest, which surprised my wife, and she said, "I'm sorry, I thought you were an out-and-out atheist." You can see she's got a winning style with her arguments. And the friend said, "No, I'm not an atheist, I'm just an apathetic agnostic. If something very bad happened to me or to my family, I would have to think my position out again." Seems to me that when we've once sorted out that faith is from God and not from ourselves, we hit upon a major problem, and that's human pride or self-sufficiency. While life is okay, while things are going well with me, what need have I of God? And that's the problem. It's the problem that prevents many people thinking about God, thinking about faith in God and their relationship with God. And it prevents others coming to faith. Because we learn in life to be independent. All of life is teaching us to be independent, to stand on our own two feet, to rely on our own abilities when we get into difficulties and problems, to work them out for ourselves. But faith says something different. Faith says depend upon God, not upon yourself. And faith requires a total dependence upon God and what God has done for us. Not only do we want, as human beings, to earn faith, when faith is offered to us because of our own self-sufficiency and self-reliance, we find faith very difficult to receive. We find God's offer so very difficult to receive because it means depending upon him. And so Jesus points the disciples to the children. Because children are great examples of faith because they have no problem about being dependent. as we adults do. Now take my boy. Please take my boy. My son is just 3 years old. And he has no problems with dependency. He gets up in the morning and he comes to me. And I take off his nappy and I get him washed and I get him dressed. And he's ready for breakfast. Now he chooses what he has for breakfast. But he always chooses what his sister's already chosen. And then after breakfast, I clean his teeth. And then it's time to go to nursery school. And he wants to go to nursery school. But he's dependent upon me getting him there. So off we walk or trot or meander along the street. And we go. And then he comes home for lunch. And very often he's carried on my back or on my shoulders home from lunch for lunch. At lunch, we cut up his food so he can eat it. And after lunch, we read him a story. He is dependent upon us. Now, that doesn't worry him. He doesn't have to work at it, except when he chooses to. When he wants to be carried, he can really work at dependence. But normally in life, dependence comes naturally to him. And that's the way of the relationship. It's based upon his nature and my nature. The nature of him as the child, the nature of me as the father. And dependence is understood. The way of faith is the way of dependence. Because that is the nature of the Heavenly Father, and that is the nature of us as weak, immature children. But the problem is we've learnt to be independent. And we find dependency very, very hard to come to terms with. It is a stumbling block into faith. It's a stumbling block for those who are in the faith of Jesus Christ. Because we still want to do things our own way. We have to depend. We have to learn to become like children again. And that is very, very hard. I was reading a story in an old copy of Reader's Digest. It always makes me wonder why copies of Reader's Digest are always old. But it was a man who at the age of 70 took his first parachute jump. It's a very interesting story. And in a sense, just by the way, hanging on a parachute seems to me the epitome of faith, isn't it? Because you're totally dependent upon that flimsy canopy. So if you want a picture of faith, it seems to be parachute jumping. Anyway, he was 70-year-old. Thinking of his first parachute jump. During the war, he'd been a navigator on a bomber airplane, and he said that never had he worn a parachute. They always threw their parachutes in the corner because they were totally unreliable. And here was he, in the plane, ready to jump. Would he remember all the things he'd been taught? Would he be able to get down? All right. He'd great faith in his instructor, and so he jumped. And all went well, and he landed well. And on the way back to the hangar, he was thinking. And he was remembering how he taught his son to walk, how he taught his son to ride a bike, how he taught his son to drive a car. And he was coming to terms with his son teaching him how to parachute and being dependent on his son when his son all his life had been dependent upon him. Dependence does not come easy. When life tells us to be independent, but dependency is the way of faith. What is it that Jesus says? Let the children come to me, do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Faith is not by human actions, it's a gift of God, and it is centered upon dependency upon what God has done for us. So how attainable is faith? Well, basically, it's not. It's not attainable. You cannot earn it. You cannot work your way towards it. You cannot gain it. It is God's gift, but it is God's gift to all who will receive it. Not just to special people. Not just to the right sort of people. If you follow on towards the end of this chapter, verse 46, we see blind Bartimaeus, a beggar, with the cry of dependency on his lips. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. That to me is the archetypal cry of faith. Not what can I do, But Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Faith is there available for all. And if this morning you recognize that your life is not what it ought to be, if you recognize that God plays no part in your life, but you want him to play a part in your life, you want to find faith, then you've gone a long way along the path. You've begun to recognize your need. And now look and see that Jesus Christ, through his death, has met that need, dying in your place. And that through that death, God forgives you. He wipes your slate clean so that you start anew, fresh, forgiven, accepted by God. That is his gift to you. And perhaps his Spirit is stirring you this morning to say, yes, let me accept, let me start with God in faith through Christ, not because of anything I've done, but because of God's gift to me. It's not much for us to do, is it? Simply accept what God has done for us. But I think it's as much as we can manage. Now, if at the end of the service there are one or two people who are thinking, yes, I would like to find that new start with God. I would like to make that step of accepting what God has done for me. Then I'll be at the door at the end. I've got some little booklets entitled Making a Start, written by our own rector, which helps us to understand what we have to do in terms of repentance and recognition and reflection, and above all, receiving what God has done for us. Just ask me for it. If you want to talk, there'll be time to talk, either with myself or with June, or be sitting down here at the front. How attainable is faith? It is not attainable because it is given free for all from the hand of God in the person of Jesus Christ. And we accept what God has done for us. Let us pray. Father, we praise and thank you for your mercy and your grace to us. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We thank you that your grace extends to all who will receive, all who will believe on the name of Jesus Christ. Do your work in our hearts, teaching us to be as children, to learn to rest in your love, that we might be your people, people of faith, and people of love, to the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.